So in some sense, we've come to the end of solid-state physics. We finished just before Christmas. And if you want to know something about one of the equilibrium properties of a solid, then what you do is you first calculate the dispersion relations. You should calculate them for electrons and for phonons. And then from the dispersion relations, you can construct the density of states. So if you know how that the density of states in K is always uniformly distributed, in K. So you know the solutions in K space, and this comes from the symmetry of a crystal. And then using the dispersion relationship, you calculate the density of states in energy. And from that, you can calculate the thermodynamic energies, like the internal energy, or the Helmholtz free energy, or the Gibbs energy. And for experiments with solids, typically the relevant free energy is a Gibbs energy, because most of the experiments are done at constant temperature and pressure. So if you hold the volume constant and the temperature constant, that would be, the system would go to a minimum of the Helmholtz free energy. But if you hold the temperature and the pressure constant, then it's a Gibbs free energy. If you just hold the pressure constant, if you hold the pressure and the entropy constant, so not the temperature but the entropy, then it would go to a minimum of the enthalpy. This is thermodynamics. But we construct the relevant free energy, which is usually the Gibbs free energy, and from that you can calculate the specific heat or the pressure, but you can also calculate things like the stiffness tensor or the piezoelectric constants or the thermal expansion. They're derivatives of the free energy. And any equilibrium property can always be calculated this way, by finding the microscopic states, getting the density of states, and from the density of states, getting the free energy, and from the free energy, you take derivatives of it, and you calculate all these properties. And other than this, in solid-state physics, what we do, say, in the advanced course, is to look at better microscopic models. So far, we've concentrated mostly in terms of electrons with free electrons, and we neglect the electron-electron interactions. So in the advanced course, then we'll consider electron-electron interactions more. There are better descriptions of the phonons that include the nonlinear terms, which I told you existed, but didn't really explain how to calculate them. You can couple the electrons and the phonons. So up until now, we've been saying there are electrons and there are phonons. You do the calculation just completely separately until you get to the free energy and just add the two free energies together. But electrons scatter off phonons, and when they do, they can generate phonons. And so the electrons and phonons are coupled, so you can couple the electrons and phonons. Here where it says many-body effects, that's basically including the electron-electron interactions. That's what the many-body effects mean. And the another thing we'll do in the advanced course is look a little bit more exactly at what happens in the non-equilibrium case. This is a transport, where there's an electrical current or a heat current moving through the system. And I already described a little bit how this works. This was a picture of a Fermi circle for a two-dimensional system. And if you don't apply an electric field, the states inside the Fermi circle are occupied, the states outside the Fermi circle are empty. And you apply an electric field, and what happens is that the states shift over because of the electric field, and then there are transitions from a filled state here to an empty state at lower energy, and then a phonon gets emitted. So this goes from higher energy into an empty state at lower energy, and so from outside the Fermi circle to inside the Fermi circle, and then the difference in energy would be emitted as a phonon. And I described this and I showed some simulation of it, but we didn't go through the details of how to do that calculation. So we'll do that in the advanced course as well. Actually, I think I can go through the topics in the advanced course basically the first thing we do is we review the results of this course, and then we add a magnetic field. So we add a magnetic field to the Hamiltonian, and when you do that, it changes the microscopic states, and that changes the density of states. When you change the density of states, it changes all the thermodynamic properties. And curiously, as you increase the magnetic field, a lot of things oscillate in magnetic field, like the specific heat goes up and down as this oscillation in the magnetic field. And you can see that when you calculate for the microscopic states. So first I talk about electrons in a magnetic field. And when you apply a magnetic field, that's still an equilibrium property. So you still calculate the internal energy, and from the internal energy, you can calculate the specific heat. And then we talk about electron-electron interactions. We spend some time talking about optical properties and phase transitions and how you describe phase transitions. And there's a section on transport, this kind of transport problems. So let's...